And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. I am reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through, let's see, I'll probably go to verse 9. I've already read up to verse 3. Verse 4 begins with Jesus ceasing his teaching to the people and wanting Simon Peter to launch out into deep water. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And this is what I want to talk about today. And Simon, answering, said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Here is the key. Nevertheless, the words of Peter here, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, O, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. Nevertheless, at thy word, is the subject of my topic today. At thy word. Even when it made no sense at all, Simon Peter said, At thy word, Lord God, I will do as you bid. Jesus was asking something of Peter, saying, Let down your net for a draught of fishes. And Peter says, We've toiled all night and taken nothing. And he thought probably it's ridiculous to try again. But at the word of the Lord, he was willing to let down the nets and try again. At his word. We need to learn to take the Lord at his word. He gives us his word in written form. We don't have to be in the dark. We don't have to live by the thoughts and imagination of our own imagination or anyone's imagination. We don't have to live by doctrines and creeds of men. God has provided us the written word, which has proven itself over time and centuries to be the true word of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that this word is true. And he's given us this word to check out everything we hear by. And in the word, it tells us many things to do and how to live. When we come to Jesus Christ, after we come to him and are born again by his Spirit, then we have an obligation to find out what his word says, what it's saying to us as individuals, and how we are to live, and how we are to serve this wonderful Jesus Christ that saved us from our sins. We find this by the study of the Word. But after we begin to study the Word, we need to be willing to take the Lord at His Word and obey His Word. Sometimes it may seem impossible. Sometimes it may seem a little ridiculous. In the eyes of our friends that are in the world, it will seem foolish maybe, downright stupid. But we got to have the attitude Peter had. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will listen, I will obey. I don't understand everything there is to understand, but at thy word, I will believe. What is God's first word to us? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, it doesn't make sense that we should be able to just believe in him and be saved from sin and be granted eternal life. Seems a little foolish to us sometimes. It's that simple. It is that simple. Because when we believe in someone, we believe in all that they stand for. We believe in everything they say. To believe in somebody means to partake of, to be part of what they believe, to be make it part of our lives. So to really believe in Jesus Christ means to turn from our sin. Remember Peter said, repent, turn around, go a different way, follow the Lord, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes unto us when we believe, when we truly believe. Because without this witness of the Spirit, we're not saved. This is the Word of God. And so it is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And it would even affect our household. It says, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now, of course, that is understood to mean the household that believes. If they do not believe, they're not saved. We are saved as individuals, one at a time. So the Word of God, believing the Word of God, is enough to save our souls. And it's the way of salvation is so simple. And yet so many miss it because we think we have to earn it. We think we have to do some good deed in order to earn it. The confusion comes in when people... There is a debate over faith, whether we're saved by faith or by works. Now, when it means works, it means the works, religious rites and works in order to earn our salvation. We cannot earn it. But that doesn't mean the works of repenting from sin or turning from sin. That's part of salvation. Because to be truly saved by the grace and blood of Jesus Christ is to be cleansed from sin. It's to turn from sin. Now, if we go back into sin and claim to be covered by his blood, we are making a mockery of the holy way of salvation Jesus died to provide for us. So, part of salvation is repenting or turning from sin. That's part of it. And that's not being saved by works. Because we are saved by faith. And when we exercise that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we trust that his death on the cross is sufficient to take away our sins, we are, in fact, when we repent, when we come to him, we are, in fact, turning away from our sins. So it would seem stupid to go back into them. So we are being saved by faith, and that faith, in turn, causes the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all our sin, because that's why Jesus died. If we did not need cleansed from our sins and forgiven of sins, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. So the sin is what is separating us from God. So to reverse that, we have to believe in Jesus, but to the point that we're willing to turn away from our sin. That is faith. We're exercising our faith in him. And that faith, in turn, saves our souls. So we are saved by faith. But part of that, complete faith, is to believe in the one who is saving you. To believe in him means to believe his words. And Jesus said, he that believes in him, out of, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he also said that he that loves him will keep his word. And the Father in heaven will love him too. And both the Father and the Son, through the person of the Holy Spirit, will come and abide with those that love him. See, if we love him, we'll keep his word. We will keep his word. If we do not want nothing to do with the word of God, that means we do not love him. Now, we cannot be saved if we do not love him. We are saved by faith. And once that Holy Spirit comes into us, we begin to love Him. We begin to love His Word. The fruits of the Spirit begin to be manifest in us. And that is the wonderful part of salvation. We become a different person. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Some of us take a little bit longer to overcome the flesh than others. But this is all ours for the taking. A new life, a new beginning. At His Word, we are saved. We are saved just by believing His Word. Now remember, to believe in something is to partake, act on it. Not to mentally make an assent to something, but to be partaker of, to be part of it. To believe in Jesus means to believe in all He stands for, to believe in everything He says, to be partaker of His holiness, to take on His nature. That's what it really means to believe. Not to believe a man named Jesus existed 2,000 years ago. Anybody can believe that. But to believe in Him means to partake of His holiness, to be part of Him. It is wonderful. We become a new creature in Christ. He comes into our life. He changes us from the inside out. This is the wonderful gift of salvation, freely given. No religious rite, no words of a priest or a prophet can save us. Jesus saves when we believe on Him and we're cleansed from our sins and made new and afresh just by believing the Word, taking Him at His Word. Nevertheless, at Thy Word, O Lord, let down your net. Open your heart up to Jesus Christ just on the authority of the Word of God. Believe His Word. And if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever has not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Without Jesus Christ, there is no eternal life. Absolutely none. No religion can save anyone. Not even the Christian religion. Absolutely not. We're not saved by the Christian religion or any religion. We are saved by our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we may call that Christianity, but there's the Christian religion in itself does not save, because there's some people go under the name of the banner of Christianity that does not believe in the virgin birth or being born again. They just call themselves by the name of Christian. Jesus said, accept your righteousness. Exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. So it takes more than religion. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our hearts and lives and cleansing us from sin. That's the only way to be saved and inherit eternal life. There is no other way. We need that blood. Now, why is that? Because sin is what's separating us from God. If we die in our sins, we will not have eternal life, but we will go to hell. Because that's where sin's going, to hell. If we're still in our sins at the point of our natural death, we will go to hell. Jesus had to die and shed His blood in order to cleanse us from sin so that we not go there. That's why He came. That's why He did it. He's God that came in the flesh. That's why He had to. No ordinary man could die for our sins, because He would have had to die for His own sin. But Jesus came. Son of God came as a man. God came in the flesh and did no sin, so that when He died for nothing. He didn't deserve to die. He didn't have any sin to die for. So He could die for our sins. It's a trade-off, like. He took our punishment for our sins for us. He took them on himself. And when we believe in him, we are cleansed of sin and we are born again by the Spirit of God. And we are cleansed from the inside out. And we are saved to do good works. That's when we do good works. We don't do good works to be saved. We do good works because we're saved and we love him. And we want him to abide in us. We want to begin to walk in the Spirit and be filled with the Holy Ghost so that Jesus Christ abides in us. Hallelujah. It's a new and living way. That living water flowing. The living water, he talked to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. He told her that if she just believed that he was the Messiah, the Christ, that she could have his living water. But before she could have it, he had to make sure she recognized she was a sinner in need of salvation. Got to believe and know that we are a sinner in need of a Savior. If we believe we're good enough as we are and we don't need a Savior, then we can't be saved. We got to recognize, I've sinned, I need Jesus, I need a Savior. And then we believe in him and he brings us eternal life. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. The Word was made flesh, speaking of Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word, speaking of Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. This is wonderful. This is speaking of Jesus. He was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How wonderful this is. All we do is believe. All we do is take him at his word. Nevertheless, I don't understand everything, Lord. I don't understand everything or why Jesus had to die. We don't have to understand all the theology. Just simply believe. I believe you died for me. I believe you died for my sins. Please cleanse my sin away that I might receive Jesus Christ this day and be born again by the Spirit. John the Baptist, witness of Jesus once, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." So part of receiving Christ is letting him take away the sin of an individual. And eventually, when all is fulfilled and Jesus returns, he's going to take away the sin of the whole world. But right now, we don't have to wait for that day. Right now, as an individual, he can take away our sin and cleanse us, and we be born again by his Spirit. Praise the living name of the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus? He was a ruler of the Jews, supposed to know everything. He said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him." Jesus didn't major on the miracles. He kind of changes the subject here. And he says, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We're born the first time in our mother's womb. But we got to be born again in order to enter eternal life. The Spirit of God has to do that. We can't force anybody to be born again. We can't force the Spirit of God into any person. Forced conversions is ridiculous, silly, stupid. Because we can't do it. There's no way I can save a soul. There's no way I can win a soul. The Spirit of God has to do it. Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again." And you know, the Lord expected Nicodemus to know these things. You know, when you study the Old Testament, it points to the coming of Jesus Christ. "Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." To believe in him is to allow the Spirit of God into us, cleansing us from sin, and causing us to be born again by Spirit. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Praise the living name of the Lord. "For everyone that does evil hates this light, neither comes to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deed may be manifest that they are wrought in God." Wonderful, wonderful Jesus that came to save us from our sins. No, we don't have to understand all the theology. We don't have to understand everything about this. Just simply in a childlike faith, say, "I believe. I got trouble in my life. Something's wrong with me. I know I need a Savior. I know I need help. I don't understand all this. I just believe. I just take you at your word. You said he that believeth in me should not perish but have everlasting life. Then, Lord, I take you at your word. Forgive my sin. And give me this living water of eternal life. I take you at your word. You said it. I believe it. I receive it." It's as simple as that. Take him at his word, and you can be saved and have eternal life and have victory over the things of this life. Jesus said to the woman of the well, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again." He's speaking of natural water. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up to everlasting life." This is the Spirit that comes into us when we're saved, when we're born again. Now, this doesn't mean we naturally won't suffer thirst when we get thirsty in the natural. It means a spiritual. This, he's talking about the Spirit here. God is a Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. I don't care what Oprah says or anybody else says. There's no other way to have eternal life. Don't let anyone deceive you. There's no other way except through the blood of Jesus Christ. No other way. Or he wouldn't have had to come and die on that cross. Absolutely no other way. And he said also in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You want to know the truth? Continue in the word. But first we got to believe his word. We got to take him at his word. "Nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to believe in you, and then I want to continue in it. Verily, verily, I say to you," Jesus said, "whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you are free indeed." He's the only way to get rid of sin and inherit eternal life and become free. Before coming to Christ, we're dead in trespasses and sin. We are without hope. We are without God. We're separated from God. Religion can't save us. Religious rituals, somebody praying over us after we die, can't save us. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Hallelujah. "No man comes unto the Father but by me. My sheep shall hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Hallelujah. Let's take him at his word today. Let's come to him and give our lives over to him. Let the Holy Spirit fill us today. Hallelujah. He's got something good for those that believe on him. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There's hope, even if our natural flesh dies. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Your spirit will never die. Hallelujah. And you will to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. Praise the living name of God. This is for you. This is for me. This is for women. This is for children, as well as men. This is for young. This is for old. This is for poor. This is for rich. I am come a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken the same day shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, so I speak. He that believes will have everlasting life. He that believes not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. At his word. Let's take him at his word. He said it. Let's believe it. It's that simple. And be partaker of his holiness and his righteousness.